On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Good evening, afternoon, morning, or whatever it might be, and welcome to Thorn in the Side Thursday. This is the Horn. This is Conversation Radio. Radio unlike any other to which you may have become accustomed or have ever frankly heard. This is listener-supported radio. This is independent liberal media that you, by virtue of your own kind and generous contributions, keep on the air via the PayPal button and the snail mail address at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. You know, it blows me away every time I think about the fact that you guys, all of you, especially as the organization grows, are the only reason it's still here. Had it been left up to Agnes and me to keep paying the bills, it never would have happened. It happened solely because it happens solely because of you. Now, we've got a lot to get into this evening, and if you're familiar, well, and of course you are familiar with the program via either iTunes, podcasting, White Rose Society, various and sundry applications for smartphones, like, for instance, TuneIn Radio or such others. Well, you know that sometimes we sort of have to backtrack and sort of go back to ground that we were on the previous day. Well, we've got a couple of instances of that. After a while doing this sort of thing, eventually you begin to wonder if you're just losing it, or if by virtue of the fact that you see so much of this and discuss so much of this so often and so in depth, that you begin that maybe patterns do begin to emerge. And when you start thinking that way, it's generally best to take a walk in the sunshine and remind yourself that you're not Russell Crowe and this is not A Beautiful Mind. That we all know that I don't have a beautiful mind. No. I have an occasionally tormented one. And lo and behold, there it is. Two of them staring me in the face today. Three of them, really. Yesterday I mentioned that Columbine had, we were upon the anniversary of Columbine. I wake up this morning to find out that authorities some are in Littleton, Colorado, where, of course, Columbine High School is, and where the horror brought on by bullying took place. Well, bullying and easy access to firearms. And a mall in Columbine was evacuated because someone had found a pipe bomb and I guess propane bottles. Not the great big ones for your grill, but like the little ones I use back here. No, I was not in Littleton last night. The little ones I use like back here for, you know, like you use for a Coleman camp stove or one of these little portable propane heaters. See, I used to say propane, but now I say propane because I've learned from Hank Hill. No, there was a bomb in a mall in Littleton, Colorado on the anniversary of Columbine. Didn't go off. Nobody got hurt. But the problem is that while it was much ballyhooed on the for-profit media today, very few people outside of our little family and a few others will actually show any interest in the real cause of such shocking, horrifying, homicidal conduct. Because, as I've noted before, we like to take the easy way out. We like to take that path of least resistance and says, well, that was obviously a crazy person. Only a crazy person would do something like that. Right? But I think we probably know better. As David in Tennessee noted in an email last night, there's something about Uncle Adolph's birthday that just brings out the worst in the worst of people. It's their special day. So there was a bomb found in Littleton, Colorado. And while the first time I heard it, I had a chill run down my spine, about 15 seconds later, something else inside me said, and we're surprised. Why? This is America. This is how disaffected white people manifest their disaffection. And this is how their disaffected children manifest their disaffection. This is the United States of dysfunction. And it will remain so, and it will, frankly, not trying to ruin anybody's dinner again or anything, but it'll get worse. At best, it will remain in a state of, status quo. But it will not get better. It will not get better until we address the root causes of it. We barely know our history. Would anybody care to know what year this is? You know, we keep saying it's 2011. No. Today is the 21st day of April, 2764. Ab urbe condita. Today is the year 2764 from the founding of the city. This is Rome's birthday. Very few people know that. April 21st, 753 before the Common Era. Some say 752. So it might be 2763. But we barely know, very few in this country know the world's history. Slightly more Americans know a little bit of American history. Most of that, however, is, shall we say, distorted. A shocking number of American citizens have a view of current events that is shaped by bigots, by psychopaths, sociopaths, you know, Fox News, Radio Rwanda. It is not encouraging. But speaking of history, a reminder. Please, write this down. Monday, this coming Monday, Monday, the 25th of April, a very special evening. The horn will be, horn intern junior grade Ferg and I will be on the road. We will be over at the Irma Bird Center in Beckley, West Virginia, for another in the ongoing series of history chats featuring Dr. Bill O'Brien, our good friend, as well as Professor Keith Lilly. I encourage you not just to say, well, he's not going to be there Monday night. No. This will be available on Ustream, and it will be available on the Horn stream at the same time. Either way is fine by me. But you will find yourself offered up free of charge graduate level history teaching. I don't know of any other radio network out there offering this. Now, I mean, there are schools that do it, and there's some fine lectures from that are available on iTunes and so forth, podcasts and so forth. But I don't know of any where you get to actually send questions in to the professors. You have that opportunity when we do this sort of thing. And I'm working with Dr. Bill, and we're trying to do this on a monthly basis. Because he and I both think this incredibly important. The only way we've ever got a chance against the homeschoolers and the wall builders and the fundamentalists and the reconstructionists and the deformationists and the dominionists and the Glenn Beckerheads and the Radio Rwanda Fox viewers, the only way any of us ever has a chance against any of those people is to be prepared with actual facts. Because left to their own devices, a fundamentalist right-wing teabagger will tell you that, what? That while he was a writing on the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson just pined away for his wife Marie Antoinette until finally he could get aboard his faithful dinosaur and ride down to his mansion where he had no slaves and see his beloved Josephine. I mean, this is the same crowd that likes to think the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. So beginning at 7 o'clock, not 6 o'clock, not our regular broadcast time, but 7 o'clock, Monday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, write it down if you must. Another, Dr. Bill O'Brien and Professor Keith Lilly. I hope you'll join in. You can send questions along to me, or you can put them up in the chat in Ustream. And we can examine what it means for this to be fully interactive. I would absolutely love to have a room full of viewers at Ustream, not because I'm trying to get any numbers, but because I want this information out there. It will be available for, it'll be saved for later viewing. The audio will be available as a podcast. But to the extent humanly possible, if you can be there for the live version and you find things like graduate level history instruction offered for free, then be there for the live thing. It will tickle Dr. Bill to pieces, I can promise you. But we have to have this information. Because otherwise, I said a few minutes ago that at best it's going to remain the way it is. At worst, it will get worse. Well, if there's any possibility of me being wrong about all of that, it has to be because those of us on our side of this debate, this discussion, what have you, have decided to gird up our loins, as the book says, with facts, irrefutable facts, and so girded, decide that we will no longer live in tolerant silence when the freaks start squealing. and the freaks are squealing. My God. But just to get things off, like off to the, on the right foot, like I said, we've got some backing up and catching up to do. And it's not just the bomb found in Littleton, Colorado. Last night I had a story for you about an evangelical, so-called fire and brimstone preaching family who were on their way home from a homeschooling conference in Ohio when they decided to stop, curiously enough, in one of the most well-equipped, well-funded, wealthiest counties in central Tennessee, Williamson County, home of a community called Brentwood. And basically ran a grift on that school district. Do you remember the end of the program last night? Do you remember the story of these alleged evangelicals? And the con that they hope to run on this Tennessee community? Let me refresh your recollection. As I said, they were leaving, they were driving from Ohio to Locksley, Alabama. That's where they're from. That's where they have a home. Locksley, Alabama. But they're a little like the Phelps clan in that they've figured out a lovely dodge in which they hide behind religion in order to leech money out of your pocket and mine. You know, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, you know, us. Hiding behind the Bible, they leech money out of you and I by trying to put school districts in a position of denying them accommodation. So last Friday, this family, Glynis and Orlando Bethel, and their three profoundly abused children, whom Alabama's weak, ineffective Children and Family Services, Child Protective Services, Department of Health and Human Resources, whatever you want to call it, won't touch because it's a matter of religion. They stand outside and Daddy plays the git fiddle. And Mama hollers, "Oh, glory!" every now and then. And their little son videotapes it all, and their two daughters pass out tracts telling people they're going to hell. So then, Mama, and I hope I'm not taking too much time with this, because there's a follow-up that's really, really important. Mama apparently has some sort of legal education. Maybe she had a cup of coffee in law school or got the whole degree or, you know, like the Phelps clan, really. This is the Phelpses, with a South Alabama accent. They go to Brentwood High School. And Mama Glynis tries to enroll her daughters there under the aegis of the McKinney-Vento Act, which is a very humane piece of legislation that was designed to make sure that school districts could not deny an education to children based upon the fact that they were homeless. I reiterate that Glynis and Orlando Bethel and their three children have a home, and Glynis on camera says, and it's paid for, praise Jesus. They have a home in Locksley, Alabama. It is impossible for them to be homeless. But she went screaming into the high school trying to enroll her daughters there in order to disrupt life at that high school in the name of Jesus, and has since filed one or perhaps two lawsuits against Williamson County, its Board of Education, Brentwood High School, and probably everybody down to the janitor. Seeking somewhere between $5 and $20 million. And in the process, abusing a law that was designed to provide support and compassion for some of the very most fragile human beings in our country. Children of people who are homeless. And at some point, that school board, that county, whatever, via its insurance company, hired lawyers, will probably settle with Glennis and Orlando Bethel, certainly not for $20 million, not for $5, probably not for $1. But maybe for $20,000, $50,000, $75,000, maybe $10,000, but it's still your money. Because your money pays the insurance premiums for that county. Or maybe more appropriately, Tennesseans' money. But you know what? It all flows downhill from Washington, even if the flow has diminished to a trickle. These are con artists. These are, in my eyes, Satanists. These are people who prey upon human flesh no less than maggots do. They have a home. Compare that, however, with a story that came to me from our blogger, Texas Betsy. The story of Tanya McDowell and her 6-year-old little boy. Tanya McDowell is homeless and apparently lives in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Tanya McDowell, as we speak, faces felony charges in Connecticut of first-degree larceny and conspiracy to commit first-degree larceny, the allegation being that she stole $15,686 worth of, come on, it's America, what? Worth of crack cocaine? No. Meth? No. Heroin? No. Weed? No. Booze? No. Education? Yes. Tanya McDowell, 33 years old and homeless, is alleged to have stolen $15,686 worth of edumacation from Norwalk, Connecticut, because she registered her 6-year-old son at an elementary school there. Let that sink in. It is either 2011 CE or 2764 AUC in the USA. And we are charging, well, the people of Connecticut. But see, I'm one of those people who views himself as an American and not a West Virginian or an Alabamian or a Connecticutian or whatever. I view myself as an American. So we, America, have decided, or someone on our behalf in Norwalk, Connecticut, that would be among other people, a filthy attorney by the name of Donna Latarulo. We've decided that the appropriate punishment of a woman who sought education for her homeless son is to charge her with a pair of felonies, put her on $25,000 bond, and send her back into the streets. Yep, it's still what the Christians like to call Holy Week, isn't it? Oops. It's a complicated story. The fact of the matter is, the lives of the homeless are often complicated lives. Far more complicated than anything that Donald Trump has ever known or ever will. More complicated, by far, than anything that any Wall Street bankster will ever have to endure. Complication in their lives means making $80 million a year instead of $100 million a year, and they shed bitter tears and cry anguished cries over those extra millions. Betsy sent this story along to me, and I sat and read it, shaking my head, thinking, wait a minute, this is an old story. Because I remember another story like this not very long back. This is the same story. No, it's not. It's not the same story. I asked Betsy that question, and she said she'd look around, and she did. January 27th, 2011, from the Chicago Tribune. In Akron, Ohio, Kelly Williams Bowler has been jailed for falsifying residency records so that her two children could attend a better school in a different community. The Akron Journal-Beacon reports, while her two girls were registered as living with her father in Copley Township within the Copley School District, prosecutors maintained that they actually were living with Williams Bowler on Hartford Avenue in Akron. In Chicago and its suburbs, public school officials actively investigate parents who claim to live in one community but reside in another. Investigators follow children home after school to determine where they actually lay their head at night. Too many nights spent outside the school district limits can lead to dismissal, charges, and fines. From HamptonRoads.com, September 24th, 2008, the Virginian pilot. Thinking about sneaking your child into a school outside your district? You could end up like Carla Lambert. The Portsmouth resident was ordered to pay $1,764 in restitution to Chesapeake Public Schools on Monday after she was convicted of lying about her residence in order to register her child at Great Bridge High School, said Chesapeake Deputy Commonwealth's Attorney David Whitted. She also received a suspended fine of $200. So in 2008, it was $1,764. In January 27th, 2011. It's Ohio. And in April, the cruelest month, it is an allegation of stealing $15,686 from Norwalk Public Schools. Are you sick yet? See, here's how it worked out for Tanya McDowell. She apparently registered her son at Brookside School, but she actually lived in an apartment on Priscilla Street in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Now, she, because she was homeless, her child went to a babysitter's house from 3 to 6 p.m. after school, and that was the address that was allegedly used to establish residency. The home on Priscilla Street that was alleged by this this lawyer lady Latarulo, Ms. McDowell, said she knew a man who owned a home on Priscilla Street, and he allowed her to sleep at the home at night. But she always had to leave the home during the day until he returned from work. When she has nowhere else to stay, she stays at the Norwalk Emergency Shelter. And from 3 to 6 p.m., another woman, Anna Rebecca Marquez, is her little son's, her precious little 6-year-old boy's babysitter. After the Norwalk Housing Authority became aware that Ms. Marquez had helped McDowell by providing documents needed to get McDowell's son into Brookside, Ms. Marquez was evicted from her apartment in January. This is a Norwalk twofer. So, just to compare, a family of grifters from Locksley, Alabama, who have a home to go to, who have a home district to go to, a place to put their children in school, who were coming home from a homeschooling conference and don't even have their children in public school, are suing a well-to-do school district in Middle Tennessee in a cynical effort to suck some money out of that neighborhood. Meanwhile, and claiming the McKinney-Vento Act as the reason they can do so. Meanwhile, that same McKinney-Vento Act, it is federal law after all, applies in Connecticut as well as it does in Middle Tennessee. And a 6-year-old boy, a 6-year-old boy who, if he was if he just had the benefit of being a fetus, would have every Republican in the United States saying, "But he might grow up to cure cancer, Sergeant Carter." But doesn't have the benefit of being nothing more than a wad of cells, and is actually a living, breathing human being. That 6-year-old child just wanted to go to school in the same place every day. Even though neither he nor Mama could lay their head in the same place at every night. Well, why didn't she go to the Norwalk homeless shelter? Ask anyone who's ever been homeless and they will tell you that if it's at all possible, you stay out of the shelter. Because the shelter is dangerous for a woman alone, and doubly dangerous for a woman alone with a little boy. In either the year 2764 AUC or 2011 CE,
This is no way to run a country that alleges itself to be civilized. Not at all. And I particularly loathe these stories because, among other things, they give ammunition. I hate that word. They give that to they create the argument for the elimination of the public school system to the right-wing filth merchants who would, given the opportunity so to do, dismantle every good thing about this country, one of which is, in fact, public education. Zatoichi in the chat room asking, Bob, how's she going to pay him back? It's a fine question. Maybe they can just take it out of her hide with a nice long prison term so that every night a 6-year-old boy can say, where's mama? When I get to see my mama? I want my mama. Because, you know, a mother who tries to do right by her child and get him the best education that she possibly can under impossible circumstances, you know what that woman needs? Nice long stretch in prison. You know, I think it was last night, and this is an interesting... See, I get taught by what goes on here. I learn things. I reflect. We do it together. We come in peace. I think I've turned into William Shatner. No, I learned things because it was just last night that I was telling about how when I was a little boy, every year growing up in Northwest Alabama, I had to take a form home to my mama and daddy, and they had to fill out my freedom of choice form. And a freedom of choice form was something you had that everybody in Alabama had to fill out, and probably Mississippi too. Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Kentucky maybe, Texas, Oklahoma. The Jim Crow states. And while it was used by some lily white parents where I grew up to make sure that their children went to the right school, even if they had to drive them all the way across town, you know, to keep them going to school. You know, so many of those. I recalled that it was actually federally mandated in order to make sure that children of color could attend traditionally white schools if they lived in the school district. It was a city school system. 4 or 5 elementary schools, 2 junior high schools, and 2 high schools. Because it was, in fact, the segregated South. And it was not possible within that city school system to go to the wrong school because you chose your school every year. Under that system, it would have been impossible. It would have been utterly unthinkable, impossible to charge. Excuse me. To charge Tonya McDowell, 33 years old, $1 with a 6-year-old son to charge her with stealing $15,686 worth of education, or of engaging in a conspiracy so to do. It, by the way, here's the fun part. She's got a public defender. People who go into the business of being a public defender are noble souls, to say the least. They are generally among the most idealistic of the people who come out of law school programs. They know in being a public defender that they are going to work long and thankless hours on a lot of really miserable cases, that they're going to just have them stacked waist deep around their desk, that they're going to march into magistrate court or whatever the lower court is and plead a bunch of dumb people out for doing dumb stuff. Sometimes they're going to march into circuit court and try to get a decent deal for some idiot who couldn't put the damn pipe down and decided to go and steal his next-door neighbor's four-wheeler. That's the way it usually works around here. Well, I don't know. We just finished up a 24-pack of natural light, and I just thought it'd be fun to go riding on the four-wheeler, and I didn't have no four-wheeler, so I went over and cranked up my neighbor's and rode on his four-wheeler, and damned if I didn't run over the hill with it. I didn't mean nothing by it. Public defenders do a lot of that. But public defenders do not have the time necessary to file a civil lawsuit against the government of Norwalk, Connecticut, who, unlike Williamson County, Tennessee, desperately deserves one for trying to deny an education to a little 6-year-old boy. Anybody, raise your hands. Anybody want to guess about skin color in this one? Well, maybe not. There aren't any photos. But if you want to bet she's white, I won't take the bet. No way. So there will be, there is only the slimmest of chances that there will be anything approaching justice for Tanya McDowell, whose last known address was 66 Priscilla Street, Bridgeport. Life is going to be hell for Anna Rebecca Marquis, who was the babysitter for the little six-year-old McDowell child, but who is now effing homeless because she wanted to see him get a decent education. I won't ask any of you to take one for the team, but if this story shows up in the for-profit media, or especially on right-wing hate radio, it will be used as a cudgel by which to argue this is why we don't need public schools. This is why we need charter schools. This is why we need to put, well, as Jerry Falwell once said, now that he's burning in hell, I hope. As Jerry Falwell once said, we need to put education back in the hands of the church where it belongs. William writing in says, Bob, what awful, shameful sickness runs through this land. I don't know that you can put a name to it, William, but I can tell you that it's wider than the Mississippi and deeper than the Mariana Trench. William says, I heard of a similar story, but as is always the case, you never hear the outcome, yet you can imagine it. It's as sick as some cities fining people for feeding the homeless, and we call this freedom. Yeah, we went through that too, remember? It's California, I think. Then freaks call homeless people urban outdoorsmen. Yeah, that's from right-wing radio. And actually have a voice and a mic to spew this sort of mental abomination. I can't even imagine how on earth it would cost $15,000 to send a child to public school, yet I admit I have no idea of the cost. It does seem rather high. Well, that's a ginned-up number. They take a piece of the salary of teacher one, and a piece of the salary of the teacher's aide, and a piece of the salary of the principal, and piece of the salary of the special reading teacher, or Title I or Title II or whatever the education. Well, see, Bob, this just proves that all that's all ineffective. We need to just dismantle the Department of Education altogether. By God, if going to school in an 8x12 shack with 45 people in it all screaming at the same time was good enough for Abraham Lincoln, it ought to be good enough for a 6-year-old from Norwalk, Connecticut. So the lines are open. A couple of folks already in the queue. If you want to jump into this conversation, you are more than welcome so to do. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, @gmail.com. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. We'll be right back. Playful little anthem. Now it's just reality. Wonder how Alice feels about that song if he ever thinks about it at all. You know, he's a hot dog merchant in Arizona now. I wonder what he thinks about that school's been blown to pieces line, how he thinks about something like Columbine. Don't know. But I do know that little stories like this are signposts. No, it's not happening everywhere, but it's possible everywhere. There's signposts of the direction in which we go. And you know what? It's probably just as well that the little... Because you know what? She could have been sent to jail for not sending the six-year-old to school. Talk about caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. But it's probably just as well that he not go to school. Who needs reading? Who needs writing in the brave new future toward which America travels at greater and greater speed? The world needs ditch diggers too. After all, a few years in the public schools, in any school, but he ain't going to no white Christian academy. Let's get that squared up in a hurry. A few years in any school and the bullying would start. Hey! Where do you live? Oh, that's right! You're homeless! Ha 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 ha! You freak! But you're gay, too! What do they do to you in the homeless shelter, huh? Ha 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 ha! Until one day somebody walks into a restroom and finds him hanging. Because that happens in America, and we tolerate it. And we tolerate entire sects and groups of people who argue that hate is their right under the Constitution and the Bible. Damn them. Damn them from the furthest reaches of a fiery, burning, infernal hell. Damn them. And the same goes for Ms. Latarulo, scum. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Unlike Mr. Kyle, I will be doing factual statements this evening.
Oh, good for you, Tony.
Can you believe that? It was not meant to be factual. Excuse me, but... and they're letting them get away with that.
It's oh, sure, sure. Well, I just blamed it on the press guy.
I mean, it's just... Wow. Anyway. This woman, I guess... how is she going to pay him back? Are they going to throw her in jail? I mean...
Oh, this is going to, if it's picked up by the national for-profit media, it will become embarrassing enough that it will be sort of, you know, just
parents, you know, I'm not a parent, you are, but you can understand somebody doing the best they can to get their kid leg up. I mean, it's just, you know, wow, it's just pretty scary.
Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna prosecute a mother for following her motherly instincts.
Hey, we send our kids to a high school where the water's toxic. You think I wouldn't send them to a better high school if I could? And you know, here's the fun part of our story around here. That high school's getting worse and worse and worse because the school board, which has been taken over by the state of West Virginia, wants it to get worse and worse and worse because they want to close it. And they want to build a multi-million-dollar Franken school.
Wow. Then
that will mean a 2 to 2.5 hour bus ride both ways for my kids.
And there goes individual education now, because like you know they build a Franken school, then the rooms are going to get bigger and you're going to get less one-on-one attention.
Yeah, more students, less teachers, bigger building. Everybody wins except the kids.
You ever think about homeschool?
Yeah, we think about it a lot, and we're examining it very closely. But see, I don't know if we can pull it off.
If it's,
you know, I don't have microscopes and petri dishes and alcohol burners and well, I got the stuff that goes in them. No, I'm kidding. I don't have all the stuff to create the reason, for instance, that you know Christians can have homeschool is because do so much homeschooling is because they don't need microscopes, they don't need petri dishes, hell, they don't need slide rules, they don't need calculators. Son, what's 2 and 2? Don't know, but it's a miracle. You're right.
Yeah. They don't need science, so that's
don't got to teach no science. The 4 years of English comprised is comprised of the King James Bible.
The thesis will be, can you spell hallelujah right?
Yeah. Hell, I don't know if I can spell hallelujah right.
Anyway, been watching the Scott Ryder thing. It looks like the people are ditching him left and right. Ever since the president came out and hammered him, people are bailing on him left and right, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. You mean Paul Ryan?
I'm sorry, I said Scott by accident. Yes.
Well, no, but Scott Walker's kind of interesting because it looks like he's got some sleazy crap afoot where he'd like to pull a Michigan martial law thing.
Really?
Yeah. He said, well, no one in my administration and no one that I know is working on a plan like that. No one. Oh, no. But it's all about who he didn't say was working on the plan.
Yeah. All they do is they'll take one word and leave it out of a sentence, and when it comes back to what they actually were doing it, then they'll say, no, I didn't. I said, no, not in my, how you said it right now. They always manage to switch. Like that guy who said, he makes a statement on the floor of the Senate about, because he knows it's going to go into records, but then later on he can change it to what it was supposed to be, but it's already on the record already, so he accomplished what he wanted. They always twist the words around. You know, they put a word here, take a word out there, and there you go. They're good to go on everything, you know? I mean, that's how they do it.
Exactly.
Have you seen the Cole Show on TV?
Yeah.
And your opinion?
It's crap. You know that after the very first episode, the Mine Safety and Health Administration dropped a rock on them, right?
I can't say I've been following 100%. What happened?
They were doing all kinds of stuff that's so far out of bounds and so illegal and so contrary to... a code that's meant to prevent disasters and, mass horrors and things like that. They violated so many rules, so many regulations in the first issue of that miserable piece of garbage show that the Mine Safety and Health Administration just, we're going to fight you for this and this and this and this and this. So all of that business, and if they can get one more cut in, they'll be able to make a profit tonight. You know, all that stupid narration. They ain't going to make no profit. They're going to be paying fines.
So, in your opinion, and I can say you know a little more about it than I do, and probably a lot of people, because, for lack of a better word, you're on the ground there. You're on the front lines. That show is pretty much, what's the word I'm looking for? They stretch the truth, or it's just pretty much...
It's bull.
Okay, that's cool.
It's bull. And what, it's... It's a way, it's a vehicle for telling the typical stupid hillbilly story. The last two episodes that I've seen and clips of and or read about has involved one storyline about the poor boy, what was going into the hole, and he was done a OxyContin addict, and they're going to have to, next week, they're all going to have to take a pee-pee test.
You scream at the TV when you see it sometimes.
I try not to, because that channels the ghost of my dead father, and, it makes him upset, too.
You remember when when Bush was in office, how it was unpatriotic, and you weren't for the troops when you badmouthed them on TV in a time of war?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just... I mean...
Oh, I remember when not liking war was the same thing as not supporting the troops.
I mean, it's just talk. I mean, these guys—they have no shame. They absolutely have no shame whatsoever.
Zero.
I mean, the fact that they're even entertaining Donald Trump. This guy cracked me up. I mean, he sits there and he attacks a birth certificate. He's been doing this for a couple of weeks now, and he hasn't had one policy question. They haven't asked him, like he says, "Let's go take the oil." They haven't asked him how does he plan on doing it. They haven't asked him if he'd go for the EU's help. I mean, this guy—he doesn't. Nobody's asking him. He hasn't been asked one policy question in 2 weeks. It's all fluff and mirrors,
Right.
I mean, I would somebody ask him a policy question. I bet you he wouldn't even have an answer.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty fair guess.
I mean, it's easy to sit there and throw bombs when you don't have to worry about, crud. I mean, the guy, he's going to announce, like you probably said already, he's going to announce his answer on the season finale or the premiere of The Apprentice.
This is all just another Trump con, another Trump dodge. He's trying to bolster ratings for his stupid little, there it is again, reality show.
Yeah.
You know, TV in the United States has never been known, Tony, for being the most edifying of media. But I am convinced that the advent of so-called reality television is the worst thing that ever happened. I mean, it is the worst thing. You know, Match Game, the Newlywed Game, for Christ's sakes, was better than things like Coal and Asshole Loggers and the Deadliest Crotch and you know that garbage that's out there.
Don't forget High School Truckers.
Oh well, yeah, that's I thought I said. Oh yeah, okay, that's what. Yeah, Asshole Truckers or Ice Road Trucker, whatever, something like that.
Ice Road Suckers. Anyway, I noticed one more thing. The only channels he's really been going on, other than Fox, because Fox is harmless, most of the channels he goes on are NBC affiliates. And what?
Right, because NBC is trying to boost him ratings.
There you go. So he doesn't go on any. And like I said, and I was wondering, because he gets really rude with some of the interviews, and I figured it out. The only shows he goes on are Fox.
Well, he did go on ABC because he interviewed with George Snuffleupagus.
Oh, and didn't George call him out a little bit?
Yeah, and all he can, well, you'll have to wait and see. You'll have to wait and see. They got downright pusillanimous with each other.
Yeah. I don't know. But he's really a waste of time. It's gonna pretty much burn out. Oh, big ups on your Talkers Magazine thing. You were in the top 50?
Yeah. Second year in a row.
Oh, wow. Well, did you move up at all?
Well, it's not ranked by numbers. It's just here's a list of 50 of the most cutting edge internet broadcasters in America.
Do you know who was before you and who was after you?
It's alphabetical.
Oh, it is alphabetical. Okay.
Yeah.
So how does it feel when you see Alex on the cover? I mean, does it make you?
Well.
I mean, really.
What are you going to do? The guy's on a terrestrial stick, so I guess that qualifies him as something.
If you could sum it up as a show in one word, what would you call it?
Snake oil? Hucksterism? fraud? Godforsaken liar?
That's cool.
Turd talking into a microphone?
That's pretty good. So this guy, I'm bouncing around a little bit. Please don't be upset.
Oh, no, not at all.
This guy, Terry Jones, he's going to Dearborn, huh?
With a gun.
Talk about poking a snake.
Yeah, but see, I don't want to talk about the Muslim community in Dearborn that way. They've done nothing to indicate that, you know, all they are is a bete noire for Terry Jones and other freaks like him. This evil bastard really wants a religious war. And he is, and he has so convinced and deluded himself, Tony, that he's just sure that somebody's going to come after him with a scimitar and try to lop off his old pumpkin head as soon as he holds up a sign saying, "I don't, you know, pick one," or that's not going to happen. I mean, the Dearborn Islamic community is big. It is well led. It is not comprised of a bunch of, because, you know, in the main, the people who go bananas in places like Afghanistan are folks who are semi-literate, poor, kept stupid for a reason, that kind of stuff.
You're right about that. I'm sorry, you're right about that, but at the same time, those guys in Dearborn, they do remember what he did.
Yeah, but they also know they live in America, and you got to put up with that stuff, and they want to be in America.
And they probably know he's a nutbag anyway. So
right, and they're not going to. But no, it's deeper than that, Tony. They're not going to play into his hand. He's counting on what he's counting on is being able to burn a Quran or urinate on a Quran or. Do something to an image, you know, hold up a picture of, hold up a sign that says Muhammad was a pedophile or something like that. I mean, I know the talking points for these goons. And what he's counting on is that will inflame some of those aforementioned semi-literates
in places like Pakistan and Afghanistan so that he can say, well, see how violent they are? I didn't do nothing. I just exercised my First Amendment right, freedom of religion.
What I'm going to be, it's going to be interesting to see, like, if he goes up there or when he goes up there, if he gets no negative whatsoever and everything goes fine, it's going to be interesting to see how the for-profit media spends it.
Well, the for-profit media will cover it and will make sure that the coverage makes it to Afghanistan, where some semi-literates will lose their minds. Semi-literate fundamentalists. Again, let me reemphasize, Tony, because I don't want anybody to get me wrong. It's the fundamentalism that's the problem, whether it's fundamentalist Christianity, fundamentalist Islam, fundamentalist toenail clippers, it doesn't matter. It's the fundamentalism.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Bob. You know who I am, and we've talked about my religion before. Never, ever, ever in the time I've listened to you, I've ever been, and not that it would really matter because I'm just a listener, but I've never been offended by what you say because I know where it comes from. It comes from your heart. It doesn't come from your emotion. And you don't say anything derogatory. You just speak the truth. So it's not about, do you understand what I'm trying to say? You don't.
I do. And I thank you for it.
You understand that? Let me say one more. So it's all good, man. You're right. It is the fundamentalism. And, you know, there's just certain things that have to be tolerated if you're going to get into any form of belief, because there's going to be people out there who are going to try to attack it for whatever reason. Anyway, but in your case, I know for a fact that you've always been respectful and you've never said anything that wasn't the truth, and that's why it's all good, bro. One more thing, and I'll let you go. When you get on to Libya for a second. The Saudis are going nuts. They feel like they're being screwed. Bandar Bush has been raising his head lately.
Oh, has he?
You know he's a part. Yeah, you know he's a part. I've seen him on a couple of interviews. You know he's a partner of the Bush family. And I'm going to throw this out here because it would make. I was thinking about it. Do you think that Bandar and the Bush family are might have their tentacles into what's going on in Libya with all this stuff because it's a way for them to, one, make money, and two, make Obama look bad by destabilizing the area? Do you think they might, behind the scenes, pulling strings to make things happen?
I don't know. I haven't really heard it put that way, Tony. You'd like to hope not. You'd like to think that this is evil that is manifested solely by Muammar Gaddafi.
Yeah, of course.
But the thing is, we do know that the Saudis are neck deep in Bahrain, and there have been human rights abuses there. They exert their influence in places like Yemen, of course, because they share the Arabian Peninsula with Yemen.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, other than Bandar, we don't have any politicians in this country that are hooked up with the Saudi or any kind of Middle Eastern company leaders or tribals that use the word Bush with them. What I'm thinking is these guys, all they care about is making a buck. And whenever you topple a country, you destabilize a country, apparently there's tons of cash involved. I mean, if the Saudis are in Bahrain and they're making moves all over Yemen and stuff, there's no reason why, I mean, this is just my theory, I wouldn't put past Bush or any of his cronies to use Bandar and his guys to make moves in business and, you know, for lack of a better word, open up the cash register. I mean, it's just something to think about. I don't know.
Well, I think it is. I think we'll need to see a little bit more documentation of some sort. Now, I do know this. I just saw this in the chat room, and this is disturbing enough all by itself. Sparky just posted this. Headline. According to Defense Secretary Robert Gates, the U.S. is beginning to use armed drones in Libya. Oh, good. I can't wait till we bomb the snot out of a wedding.
I told you this before, and I'm telling you again, we're going to make the same mistake again. We're going to start off in civilians, and then boom. I mean, I don't know.
What I love is Gates said Barack Obama has approved the use of armed predators, and then this paragraph from Reuters. The unmanned aircraft, already used to target militants along Pakistan's border with Afghanistan, will allow for, and you know, if you cannot resist just collapsing into paroxysms of hopeless laughter, Tony, I'll understand, will allow for more precise attacks against Gaddafi's forces.
Oh, God.
Especially Gaddafi's forces who are camouflaged as people attending weddings.
You know, we lost an American soldier. Supposedly, we had our first friendly fire incident the other day. These guys were killed by drones.
Yeah, we offed some of our own.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense. Anyway, oh, by the way, two more things. I'll let you go. How's the fundraising going?
We're actually within about $20 of making the halfway mark.
Oh,
so
cool.
We're about $20 from $1,250, which is where theoretically we should have been 6 days ago.
Oh, that's great, man. That's
so cool. We are we're in the hole by about $500 right now.
Hey, oh, one more thing. If I wanted to look around and find out that there's any kind of band or Bush thing going around with the Saudis trying to, do you know any websites we could go to find information like that? Because you know, certain hucksters and snake oil salesmen are saying things like that. But
well, that you know, if I can't tell you where to go. I mean, I Google just like everybody else does, or whatever search engines we use. But I can tell you, you know, it's a pretty good idea that if you see Prison Planet, One News Now. And I mean, generally these things will give themselves away easily enough. If it's Alex Jones or something, you know, just go, well,
yeah.
And you know, if it's coming from The Blaze,
yeah,
you know, that's the Beckerhead website.
Sure.
That dumb bastard says he's going to start taking on Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. I can't wait. I can't. Well, I can, because it's gonna be like, Muhammad Ali taking on a 2-year-old with Beck in the role of the 2-year-old.
It's a battle of wits with an unarmed man. That'd be like
me. There you go. That's what I meant.
It's a battle of wits with an unarmed man. It would be like me fighting Brock Lesnar. Really? I don't think so. But anyway, just keep an eye on that because. You know, Bush and his family, you know, they
never miss an opportunity to capitalize on horror and bloodshed. That's why they're the Bushes.
I'm just saying, you know, they did it with Hitler, and you know how it is when you topple a nation. There's tons of profit. So, you know, look around for that. I'm not saying it's there, but like I said, when these guys start raising their head, like, out of nowhere, Bandar starts coming around again, then somebody might have their fingers in the pie. We'll see, bro.
All right, man.
Bob, take it easy.
See ya. Later, Tony. Bye now. Tony calling from Vegas, and we go onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Jim, what's up?
Oh, I just wanted to give you a heads up on a program coming on Fox News with, I think, Chris Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I always watch Fox Business News because you do get good financial information and things of that nature, and it is a good program. For one of the things coming out of Fox, it's the only good program I've seen. You know, with Don Imus and the boys.
Yeah, oh yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't appear on my cable system.
Well, about once or twice a week, for some reason, Chris Wallace, or they set him up to talk with Imus, and of course, talk about a pissing contest between two people. I mean, I have never in my life. I mean, they get to insulting to the point that it's just incredible. But what I wanted to tell you is, guess who's going to be on Chris Wallace, Fox News, Sunday morning?
Either Donald Trump or Sarah Palin, or both of them holding hands. Which?
Santorum.
Oh, Rick Frothy Mixture Santorum?
And Don Imus said, what in the hell are you having that idiot on there for? He said, that's got to be the stupidest bleep bleep in the world. He said, what in the name of God are you having him on there?
Bless his heart, Don's trying to redeem himself.
In many ways, he does. I mean, in other ways, he, you know, yeah, he does. And, you know, and I have a lot of respect for Imus, I do. I mean, you know, the guy has overcome an awful lot with drugs and alcohol and every other thing and is very outspoken about it. And his wife tries to do a lot of good, you know, in some of the stuff in and around New York and New Jersey. And the only one that I can't handle too much is McGirt, you know, that bald-headed guy he's got on there. But when he got into this business about having Santorum on there, I mean, they had a flat-down, knock-down, drag-out this morning.
Wallace pushed back then?
Oh, no. I mean, Wallace tries to be snarly with Imus. And, of course, you know, there's Imus sitting up there with a cup of jacked-up espresso. I'm sure he's probably thinking about, God, I wish I had some blow or a bottle of vodka, but, you know.
Well, gone are the days, you know.
Right. And he gives as good as he gets. I mean, they just got into it this morning. They really did. And, you know, Imus is a very conservative Republican, very wealthy and this, that, and the other, and he doesn't mind telling you. But, you know, at least the guy has the integrity enough to tell you exactly how he feels and will tell you to kiss his ass if he thinks that you're trying to feed him a lot of bullshit.
He will indeed. And you know, he's fairly quick on his feet. I mean, I can't imagine Rick the Frothy Mixture appearing on that show. That would be delightful.
Oh, it would be.
What are you thinking? Yeah.
Right. And, of course, you know, he's got these guys who imitate different people, and he's got one guy, I think Rob Bartlett, who's always imitating John Boehner or Boehner or whatever. And all he does is sit there and cry into a handkerchief, you know, like Boehner. And they just make such fun of these people. And for coming out of Fox, to tell you the truth, I don't know how they get away with some of those people on Fox. And Imus just goes and he talks about his boss as being that fat load and all this stuff. It's definitely worth watching. It really is.
Hasn't gotten around to Howard Sternville and started referring to anybody there as pig vomit yet, has he?
No, but you know, he and Howard, they have a definite history, do they?
They love each other not.
No, they do not. But nonetheless, I mean, they walk very carefully with each other. And I will say this about Imus, particularly ever since that incident happened back when he was on MSNBC and got kicked off there. You know, he's definitely tried to reform himself, and not reform himself, be very careful about what about certain things. And you know, he's probably of all the people on Fox News, he's probably the best person they have.
Well, I'd say that's probably a safe bet because isn't. Generalissimo Lou Dobbs on Fox Business?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, they had Lou Dobbs on there this morning. And he was going on about, you know, the debt and the debt ceiling and this, that, and the other. And basically it was a combination of a lot of fear stuff that they're trying to use to distract people from the real problem and, you know, going on about Obama and this, that, and the other, and that's basically what he had to say. I had gotten sort of weary of. I really didn't care to see Lou Dobbs, but it's just incredible how some of the.
I just wish the mothership had come home, come down, and take Lou home or whatever.
Well, he could take a whole bunch of them. He could take Chris Wallace. He could take. Beck and let's see who else, Hannity and Combs and all these other people, and they've got one other guy who looks like Stalin, and I can't remember what his name is. It was a big Stalin mustache, and I don't know. I just thought I would just.
Well, Jim, I gotta tell you here in a few minutes. You gotta stay tuned because I've got some audio coming from your home state. That is going to set. It's going to either set you running for the cognac bottle, or give you a case to just the blind shivers.
Oh, Bob, nothing coming out of South Carolina could do that to me.
It's all just old home week, right?
It's just old home week. I mean, you know, you forget. You know, I grew up there, and you know, and thankfully, in the part of that state where I grew up. It's a fairly enlightened part of South Carolina. you know, it's in spite of the...
Without giving away any particular locations, nearer or further from Charleston?
Well, let's see. Well, I grew up in Camden, which is the oldest inland town in the state. And so a lot of history there. And basically, Camden was populated by a lot of northern people. And it's an atypical southern town. You don't have a lot of these, you have your share, but you have an admixture of people from all over the country who winter there.
Right.
And, you know, therefore it's not as bad. As far as the Holy City, Charleston is concerned, well, I took my BA from the Citadel, which is a military college in South Carolina.
That's true.
And so, you know, but even there, in that particular school, the education I received there was very good.
Oh, yes. Albeit, if one reads something like The Lords of Discipline, arguably, in that era, brutal.
Yeah, well, you know, Pat Conroy is a classmate of mine. As a matter of fact, we used to be freshmen chemistry lab partners.
Well, I had no idea.
Yeah, I've known Pat for years. Oh, absolutely. He was in our company, I was in Charlie Company. But nonetheless, and the Citadel, you have a lot of people from the north who come down there. So I will say that there were many aspects of that school which were very brutal, Bob, very brutal. And it sort of kind of did a number on me. It basically gave me three answers for any question, yes, sir, no, sir, no excuse, sir, which is about as easy a way as you can get by in a situation like that. But there are other parts of South Carolina, and I mean, you talk about Charleston. I mean, Charleston was one of the oldest cities in the country.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the very first place in North America where Mozart was played, and the Dock Street Theater, and this, that, and the other. It's extremely rich in history. And
I'm no geographical bigot. I would love to go and spend some time there. Just to go for the shrimp and grits is enough for me.
Well, I mean, it's got a lot more than that. Plus, you have the Spoleto Festival there, which is, gives you an incredibly wide variety of artistic experiences, from theater to dance to concerts and things of that nature. I mean, the Dock Street Theater is the oldest theater in the country.
Didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I benefited a great deal. As harsh as that environment was, I benefited a great deal from it. Now, I will admit, I did depart from it when I left there and got away from the military period.
I mean, you graduate from the Citadel with a commission just like West Point, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And went on in the Air Force, and so did my thing there. And after that, you know, I found my ways to other paths, which we discussed on this program. And I began to learn a different kind of education on my own, which was a hell of a lot of fun. And, you know.
Well, I'd like to suggest that you probably earned every bit of the fun you had, Jim.
I'd like to think so. I mean, you know. I've kept a diary, now it's keeping me. But as far as what's coming out of South Carolina, nothing would surprise me. I don't know if you were able to find that music thing I asked you to find, but I hope you would.
I went looking for it. I found a copy of it. The quality was not the best, but we'll take a run at it. I'll try to take a run at it tonight, and if not tonight, then probably tomorrow night.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, it was
a great lyric.
Well, I mean, that's the reason I typed them out for you. I thought it was, a definite message with Todd Rundgren and Sons of 1984. And, you know, I happened to have been at that concert when I was in New York one summer of 74. And right there at Woolman Rink in Central Park, which, by the way, is called Trump Woolman Coleman Rink.
Oh.
In Central Park, yeah. They don't have concerts there anymore. They had to redo it. They stopped having concerts there in 1989. But now Trump's got his fat fingers on that, and it's basically a place where people ice skate and things of that nature in the southern part of the park.
But Trump's name, oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got, you know, I have never seen such a self-serving, self-promoting, egotistical asshole.
Don't hold back, Jim.
And as Donald Trump, and...
Well, like I said, I think those ventriloquist dummies from whatever day it was were onto something. Let's see the GMAT score from the Wharton admission.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Obama, I want to see your birth certificate, which I want to say, Donald, I want to see your hairline.
Yeah, or would it be the GRE?
It would be the GMAT, I would think, as far as the business school is.
Okay.
And, but I mean, this guy is... He is really promoting himself to the point that now he's the highest ranked possibility among the Republican candidates. And I think he made some statement that if he were elected to president, he would remodel the White House entirely and sort of make it, you know, into like one of his hotels or do something really tacky.
Yeah, because those things are just the epitome of class.
All right. But, I mean, this guy, he's really hurting the Republicans a great deal with this. And, you know, as long as he continues to do that, as long as he gets on that show and...
Well, then, I mean, as long as he's hurting the Republicans, and I realize this is political shallowness on my part... But I can't help saying, you know, lead on McDuff and cursed be he who first cries enough.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And he is so stuck on himself and so opinionated. And all he's trying to do is to promote that stupid reality show that he's got.
Right now he's praying he doesn't get canceled.
Well, I think that's probably what some of this stuff is about. He's trying to get himself a lot of publicity and, you know, a lot of attention so that perhaps they will keep him on there or keep the show going. And I tried to watch it, and, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the whole thing is just dull as ditch water.
Well, that was my earlier point, Jim. Whether it's the Cole show... Or the Ice Road Truckers, or Deadliest Catch, or Who Wants to Be a Runway Model, or maybe I'm just an elitist snob, but it's also contrived that I'd rather watch a rerun of the Beverly Hillbillies. At least there was some writing going on there.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, reality TV, I think the first reality show I ever saw was The Real World on MTV.
Yeah, well, isn't that what gave birth to it all? And then it went mainstream when CBS brought out Survivor?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it proliferated like dandelions after spring rain.
But, you know, in certain parts of the real world, particularly the first season, when they had the boy with AIDS, Pedro Zamora, who died, and this, that, and the other, it brought a great deal of attention to AIDS awareness and tolerance. And it was very good initially. And, of course, over the years, I stopped watching it because it's just gotten... They have so many wild social situations, which are just... I mean, I could care
less. I mean, okay, I'm so ashamed of myself for knowing this, but you realize that the Guidos and Guidettes, that's their name for themselves, of Jersey Shore intend to shoot the next season in Firenze, Florence, Italy? Were you aware of that?
Why? What in the world could those people do in Florence?
Well, according to the mayor of Florence, not very damn much, because he's issued a proclamation, Jim. Apparently, they got either a dubbed in or a subtitled copy of the show, and the mayor of Florence wrote a decree that no one in the show could be depicted in a bar drinking alcohol, that they could not drink in a public place. Basically set up a scenario whereby all they can do is sit around in their villa staring at their shoelaces. Because that's just not going to make for a hell of a lot of television, because as far as I can tell, the entire show consists of that really short little Oompa Loompa one.
Oh, yeah.
Getting drunk, taking a swing at somebody, and falling down and getting arrested.
Well, you know, all these reality shows. I mean, first they had one with the guy who was, Gene Simmons. They've got one with him, but that stopped because I hear he in Moneybag Enterprises. Then they had one with Ozzy Osbourne and the Osbourne family. And I thought to myself, who in the hell cares about these stories?
Right, and don't forget Bruce Jenner's stepdaughters or whatever, the Kardashians.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'll flip around the channels, and if it's not one of those shows, it's somebody talking about one of those shows, and it...
And
I wind up in the same place. I'm either watching Squidbillies or a rerun of Andy Griffith.
I know.
Of course, my personal favorite is Green Acres. I don't think that America understood how much surrealism was being pumped through the airwaves during the years that program was on. Because it's about the single most surreal thing in the way of consistent 60s television that anybody ever imagined.
Yeah. Well, my two favorite shows on regular TV were and are one, The Golden Girls, and the other is Roseanne.
Right. And by the way, just as you know, one of those little brushes with greatness, my first copy of the Living Bible. Remember when the Living Bible came out, Jim? It was the Bible translated into hip modern 70s speak. It even had a cover made of vinyl.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, my first copy of the Living Bible was autographed by Ebb. Remember Ebb? Tom Lester?
Oh my God.
Yes, he came and spoke at our church, and he signed my Bible, Jim. Because he was a born-again Christian.
How old were you when he did this?
10? 11?
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Yeah. It's,
But, I mean, you know, television is really... and yet, the same people want to destroy PBS and things of that nature. And all these reality, and you know, when you look at the whole lineup, like Dancing with the Stars, and what's the name, Kirstie Alley, falling on her ass when the guy couldn't catch her,
mm-hmm.
And what are some of the others they have on there? This visual pablum, so Dancing with the Stars, and what was the big one that you know where they had the search for talent and this, that, and the
other. Oh, American Idol.
Yeah, I mean, I thought to myself, who in the world would find this? Well, maybe this makes me seem like some type of cultural snob, which maybe I am. But I certainly couldn't get anything out of that kind of crap.
Mm-mm.
You know, I would work, you know, compared to those, I'll stick with the military channel. And other things like that.
By the way, I got to throw this at you because you're kind of the Horns resident historian, Jim. I was clicking last night, and it was on. It was MSNBC, as a matter of fact. And there it is, April the 20th, 2011. And all over the place and all the way into today, Time Life Books presents The Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And with footage that we can't even show on television.
I have those DVDs.
But is it just me, or does an April 20th advertising blitz for that just kind of tell you who they're marketing to?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, it wasn't lost on me.
No, I'm certain it was not. Absolutely. But you know, they have one program dealing with that period of history. It's nothing but home movies made by German civilians before and during World War II.
And I'm sure that is fascinating.
It is. It really is. And you know, one part of it that literally tore my heart out, and I realized that people were being bombed and killed and stuff like that. But the most poignant scene of that particular documentary were the ones that were taken of the Berlin Zoo.
Hmm.
You know, the first casualty of the first night raid in Berlin by the British was a poor old circus out of a zoo elephant named Betty.
Oh.
I mean, but it really gets down these particular home movies and things like that. And a lot of these things were forbidden. You were forbidden to take any type of home movies or anything like that showing destruction and damage because the Germans didn't want people to see how badly things were being done. It brings war home to you and exactly what is accomplished by it and the real totality of it and the horror and the destruction.
And the fact that although some paid with their lives in the form of execution, in reality, the Nazi leadership didn't pay the price. The working folks of Germany did.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of whom had kept their heads down and been good little party members, without a doubt.
Well, Bobby didn't have a whole lot of choice during that period of time because you had, on every block, you had a block warden who would report you to the Gestapo, and, you know, one misspoke word could land you in any number one of horrible concentration camps and things of that nature. And I guess you had to keep...
But that's the nature of life in fascism. Keep your head down and maybe it won't be so bad.
Well...
And I don't mean, you know, German, Italian, what have you.
Exactly.
Keep your head down, don't make waves, listen to the radio, play your music, you know, entertain yourself into oblivion, everything's being taken care of.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that pretty much the formula?
Pretty much, until it gets to the point where...
Aren't we amusing ourselves to death right now, Jim? I mean, look at the conversation we've just had about all this god-awful reality television.
Exactly, and it basically all is some type of visual anesthetic that's been given to the American people to take their minds off the real problems facing this country, and you know the dangers that are you know surrounding this country, and not only surrounding it but are in the very core of it.
Well, exactly. Exactly, because you don't want people looking too deep, because then they might feel either empowered to try to make things better, or they might just get so damn mad that they take something into their own hands.
Well, that's my point, and that's exactly what they, I mean, night after night after night, they are giving people masses of visual Novocaine
Well, I argue that it's morphine, but yes, it's six of one and a half dozen of another.
And anesthetic, and introduce a level of mentality and mental perception to below zero.
Yeah, I mean, after all, you know, why let the little homeless 6-year-old kid go to school, right? It's not like he's going to do anything with it.
It's something I don't understand. What did this woman do wrong?
Well, she was sleeping on a man's couch in Bridgeport and registered her child to go to school in Norwalk. And that is apparently worth two felony counts. One of grand larceny and the other of conspiracy to commit. She stole $15,686 worth of first grade education.
How can you steal
what is in the public domain? See, school systems have become so strapped for cash. And this is a direct result of things like No Child's Behind left.
Yeah, you got it.
And the downright fetish we have with standardized test scores, that you don't want a little homeless kid coming into your first grade and screwing up your test scores and maybe biting into your federal funding. And I'm not telling you anything, Jim, but No Child's Behind left was designed not to make bad schools better, but to make all schools worse.
Well, Bob, all they do is, you know, as far as these tests that they give, all they do is teach those kids how to pass. They basically teach the test. Is that not so?
Well, no, they don't teach it so much as they terrorize it. If it's anything like it is around here, you know, and what we have in West Virginia is, of course, called the West Test. And the West Test is the worst part of any school child's year. Because long about 2 weeks before the West Test, everybody in the building starts to vibrating like a struck tuning fork. Just kicking out a 440A all over the building. Principal's worried about his job. Teachers are worried about their jobs. You know, I remember when...
And don't they determine employment and things like that based on these tests?
Oh, yeah. People can lose their jobs. Like I said before, I actually remember when they were younger watching my daughters vomit before they got on the bus because they were so terrorized over the standardized test. And you've got to do well. You've got to do well or they'll fire principal. I've seen it happen, and I don't have particularly soft-stomached children, but I have surely seen it happen.
Well, you know, that type of testing and testing activity, do you think that's just a way that they're trying to, as you say, to destroy the public schools?
It is exactly that. And, you know, if there is one prominent blot on the legacy of Senator Edward M. Kennedy of Massachusetts, it is that he, in an effort to achieve some sort of bipartisan consensus, allowed himself to be suckered in by George W. Bush to signing on to that god-awful nightmare. Because, well, look, the West Test numbers were used. I mean, you know, you're one county away from me, Jim.
Right.
I'm in Fayette County.
Right.
The West Test numbers were used as an allegation to prove that our school system was a failure, and by extension, every parent in the school system, and that we therefore had to be put into a sort of receivership with the State Board of Education. Now, the State Board of Education works very closely with a thing called the School Building Authority, whose purpose in life is to build Franken-schools. To take a county with four or five high schools and wind up with one. Roane County, West Virginia, used to have two high schools. They've got one now. Lincoln County used to have two or three. They've got one now. Mingo County used to have two or three. They've got one now. And all the kids have these god-awful to-and-from bus rides.
Well, you know...
And the scores aren't going up. They're going down. Teen pregnancy isn't going down. It's going up. Dropout rates aren't going down. They're going up.
Well, you'll be amused to hear that your favorite radio personality in this area had advocated that they should just have one major school in the entire state.
His genius knoweth no bounds, Jim.
He did.
Actually, his genius is entirely bounded.
And he was going on and on and on and explaining his reasons for supporting that particular thing and, you know, and what they would do and how it would be run.
And, of course, this is the same genius who argued once long ago, and God, didn't I have a merry time with it then, that the New River flows south.
Mm-hmm. So I called him up, and I said, you forgot one thing. Well, what's that? And I said, are you going to make this a clothing optional school? Because you may as well, because you stripped everything else away.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Let me let you get on to your next caller.
All right, Jim, you have a good evening.
You too.
Thanks for the conversation. Bye now. Our good buddy Jim. But yeah, that's where our school system is. We're in receivership. And as soon as the people of this county were offered a referendum to build a Franken school and turned it down by a wide margin, we went into receivership and were declared a failure. And ever since then, our schools have been being piecemeal dismantled. The first school they closed was the school that has the highest percentage of persons of color enrolled, of course. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Listen, I just couldn't resist when you busted out with the Snooki. No way.
Yeah, Snooki ain't going to be drinking no bars in Florence. Not that she could say, you know, hey, give me a drink in Italian or anything.
I know, but why do you know about this?
You know why I know about this, Sandra.
Anyway, it's hilarious.
No, I mean, I've got teenagers in here. My youngest was extremely wrought with me one day when I walked through the room, and there those people were on our TV. And I said, you know, it's my fondest wish that one day I'm going to come in here and you're actually going to be watching the news. And she gave me the dirty look. And I said, and the news story you're going to be watching, and your jaw is going to be hanging agape, because it's going to be about a story about how Snooki wandered drunkenly into the middle of a four-lane highway and was squashed flat by a bus.
Well, I had to chime in because it was just too hilarious that you mentioned it, and that just reminded me of the Spike Lee-Tyler Perry feud has flared up again. You know who...
Oh, I know who they both are, but what?
Right, there's a feud, and Spike Lee is always panning Perry's movies. He's saying it's like taking us back to Sleep and Eat. I'm sorry, Big Buck, you know, and the other guy, Man 10 with the big bulging eye. And so, yeah, so some big...
Don't we feel so shallow, Sandra?
Oh, I feel really shallow, but anytime Spike Lee... is clowning some other Negro about their bad movies, I got a role. Because Tyler Perry, yeah, he's making bank, but he ought to be ashamed of himself for some of them movies he's making.
Yeah, there it is. Spike Lee, Tyler Perry feud continues. Dateline, April 21st, 2011.
They're so, you know, I've seen some of his movies, and it's just like, really? Do we really need to go back?
Oh,
but they're pretty popular, so.
Yeah, well, that's the thing—they bring in the money.
He's like, you know.
Oh, okay. I've got another pop culture moment for you. It was kind of pitiful. It was cute and pitiful in the same way. Mostly, I'm on MSNBC because I never know when I'm going to go over to CNN and see some woman with some thing on her face that just talks to me. Yes, I'm shallow. That stuff just drives me crazy. I wanted to take up money for Cindy Crawford to get that thing off hers. They're probably dangerous and cancerous. So I can't watch CNN anymore. So I was flipping past MSNBC, you know, probably on the way to trying to find a Squidbillies episode somewhere. And so Chris Jansing, She hosts Jansen and Company, and it's very newsy, but it's very, fashion forward, I guess. I don't know. And they've got the ability. Have you noticed now that when you have a female news anchor from the for-profit media, there is a segment where they have to walk her out so she can stand up and be seen and do the leg shot?
Well, yeah, and sometimes they bring in another female, and it's sort of like a walk-around. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to manifest my sexism. I'm trying to manifest my anti-sexism. Can she not deliver us news without us having to have a shot of her gams?
Yeah, no. It is so transparent. Yeah.
And I mean, it was another one of those, yes, I'm a geezer moments. I looked at Agnes and I said, damn, honey, is that a dress or a long T-shirt? Because, I mean, it went way up to there. And then she got all perky and excited and she said, and all the ladies who work in this department have been so excited because guess who's coming up next on the show? It's the Old Spice guy.
That black guy?
Yeah. His last name's Mustafa. And, he's got that beautiful, beautiful, God, it's almost Paul Robeson-esque voice. You know what I mean?
Right, right. No, I know the dude. All right. Oh, God. Okay. Is that
and
what's
hello, happening? Ladies. Yeah, I just love it. And so she's almost tittering. And I looked at Agnes and I said, the culture's dead. It's doomed. This is a news program.
Yeah, that's bad. They might as well have Sleep and Eat,
Yeah, they brought him on in a little bit, and the first thing she did was, this is MSNBC, and Ellen DeGeneres is syndicated, right?
Mm.
The first thing she did, he was there to hustle the fact that he's actually got a real acting role outside of Old Spice. And I'm not sure. It might even be with Tyler Perry, for all I know.
Oh, well, I suppose he's not going to come out like, can you hear me now, man? Did you see that story?
No.
Yeah, that fool ain't doing the Verizon, so he decided he could come out. He was scared to come out before because it would mess with his revenue stream. Anyway, sorry.
Well, the first thing that Chris Jansen does is, yes, everybody loved you on Ellen and has to roll the clip of this poor guy who's out there to, like I said, to hustle, some upcoming up. The guy's been working on an acting career. And acting, as we all know, is actually hard work because it usually involves being a waiter or a carpenter or, some other something, while you're waiting for the big break. So he's got the big break. He's got the acting job. And the first thing she does is roll the footage of him taking his shirt off for Ellen DeGeneres.
And a waste on Ellen, ain't it?
See, I said the same thing. But Ellen is a giving soul, and she was, she was taking one for the team for her in-studio audience.
Right. Well, that's hilarious. Oh, God.
Midday news, Sandra.
Wow. I guess I'm not missing anything.
We didn't get the story about the fact that we're going to, because I guess Old Spice dude took up the space that we would have used to maybe talk about the fact that Robert Gates has said we're going to start using Predator drones in Libya.
Well, yeah, I saw that, and it's just kind of, the drone things are just really horrific. Isn't France talking about ground troops or quote advisors? I'm yelling, Vietnam, haven't you been there before, France? What I'm saying? It's absurd.
It's France. I mean, it's not like all they have is Dien Bien Phu.
No,
they've got Algeria too.
Yeah, no, but I think about France, and when they were on the world stage, they was brutal, and so for them to be inching back into it, they're horrible, just like the U.S. and ground troops. I thought it was just a flyover. What happened to that?
I hate to say it, and I don't want to seem cynical. I was deeply, deeply hurt when I read the news that the guy who did Restrepo had been killed. Because I watched Restrepo and had to look away a couple of times.
Now, who is this? I don't know anything about. Do I know this?
Do you know what Restrepo is?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Restrepo is a very non-judgmental documentary that just follows a group of American soldiers posted out in the furthest corner of Afghanistan for a year. And it doesn't editorialize, it doesn't pull any punches. You know, it just it just happens to you. And it was the Critics' Choice Award for Sundance last year. It was nominated for an Academy Award, and now dude is dead in Libya because he was a war correspondent and a photojournalist. And he got he and one of his buddies got RPG'd a couple of days ago.
Is that the guy they were talking about on Democracy Now?
Very likely, yes.
Oh, I didn't know. Well, see, it seems like it's funny how all these reporters are being taken out, you know, unless you're embedded these days. It's pretty scary.
Well, you know, let that be a lesson to you. If you want to cover a war, you'll cover a war the way the United States damn well wants you to cover it.
Mm. Listen, did you happen to see this article about Ohio County losing its young to painkillers grip?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. And I hate to go there, but I'm flashing back to the whole Coke thing. You know how that was splashed everywhere. But the tenor is somehow different.
Well, I think it's because, and maybe this really makes me even shallower than even I think I am. I think it's because they're downers and they are, and there's a, you know, there's a pharmaceutical background. You know, our attorney general here in West Virginia, most people will tell you that Southern West Virginia is absolutely on fire with hydrocodone, oxycodone, OxyContin, Lortab, Vicodin, you know, pick one.
Well, this article was just—I mean, I know, you know—it's I know it's a serious thing, but when the one person was talking about, yeah, you never think that goes on here, but it does. It really does. You know, old women selling pills out their house. Some 75-year-old dude was doing it.
Yeah, because they're getting by.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Well, there's other issues going on besides just the drug abuse. If you're talking about. Whole areas in Ohio being, you know, there's no jobs, there's nothing, right?
Right. It's that same level of hopelessness, Sandra, in my opinion, that say pervades Gaza. You know, I'm surprised that instead of bombing them to death, I'm surprised the Israelis aren't just dropping OxyContin cases of OxyContin all over the Gaza Strip. Get everybody nice Jones and have them all just sort of sit there in the anesthetized oblivion.
No, but I mean, it's interesting that to me it just blurs the line. It's like, okay, well, we have these huge pharmaceuticals and we have, you know, the sort of importing of Coke or whatever. There doesn't seem to be any difference. That's one thing I've taken away from it.
No, there's not a lot of difference, but it's the failure once again, kind of like what I said about that that bomb being discovered at the Littleton Mall out in Littleton, Colorado today. It's the failure of the for-profit media, in my book, to look beyond surface realities.
Oh no, it is. It's really. I mean, that other thing I wanted to bring up, speaking of this issue, is. That whole thing with the marijuana that's coming up. Did you see that thing I sent you?
Yes, I did.
I mean, that is just, I, you know, that is the fear that I have with the whole
Yeah, that the pharmaceutical, I've been waiting for that shoe to drop for a long time.
No, I know, but I mean, the idea that the government is paving the way so thoroughly and blatantly, and people are just going to wake up and they're going to have to be buying their weed from Pfizer or Squibb, whoever, or Bayer. And it's just like, and they're going to put everybody else in jail who dare grow it. You see what I mean?
Yeah. See, all my pothead buddies the growing up all said, you know, that was the way it was going to go. Because not too awfully far from where I grew up, down in Oxpatch, Oxford, Mississippi, was the federal marijuana farm. You know, with 12-foot high fences, it looked like a Christmas tree farm. I knew guys that would go down there and take pictures and look at it like porn. And they said, well, you know, this is all being done for the day when it gets legalized and the government can turn it over to the drug industry.
Yeah.
And can you, Can you imagine? Because once the for-profit drug industry gets hold of it, Sandra, you know, ain't gonna be no more the whatever it is it goes for these days. It'll be five times as expensive.
And not only that, but just the sort of manifestation or a version that the FDA is allowing them to test out. You know, I mean, it's just going to be scary mutations of it. I mean, it's already pretty frightening as is what you can smoke, and God knows what they're going to turn it into. But I'm sure hemp will still be illegal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because God forbid we should, you know, have clothing or anything that's an excuse for not using fossil fuel based synthetic fibers. I saw today, and you know, recycling's good. I don't want anybody taking it away that I think it's not. Toward the end of, see, why am I talking about television? Well, you know, because I watch it. Yeah, it's a disease. Toward the end of Morning Joe this morning, they had a couple of guys on who have developed a process, and one guy's a performer, a singer, whatever, and he got behind this other guy to sort of give him the startup or whatever and be the spoken voice for it. They have figured out a process whereby they take water bottles and grind them up into nothing, reprocess them, remelt them, and then repurpose them into yarns, which they hope to use to make T-shirts and hoodies and blue jeans and stuff like that. And in light of the fact that, you know, there's something the size of the Mediterranean Ocean or Texas or whatever it is now that's nothing but plastic bottles in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, I say, great. But it's also not an excuse to look away from the stuff that's sustainable.
Yeah, no, I mean, but the thing is, it's just, and it's not even that so much as anything of value is just sort of cornered by these multinationals now, you know?
But isn't that how predatory capitalism works?
It's just really disturbing. But, I'll let you go, but I have to mention that the whole iPhone thing, I mean, I'm too poor to get one, but the tracking business, did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did. And
and the thing about that, I said that, oh, it's just so it makes it easier for Steve Jobs to find his next liver.
That's the same thing I said.
Oh, right.
Wavelength.
I'm thinking this bitch is going to get him another liver, way or another.
In fact, I tweeted that. You never know when Steve Jobs is going to need his next liver.
Shut up, you did not.
I did too.
I swear to God, I just sort of, that was just popped in my mind. You got to be kidding. Well, you know, great mind.
But you know what was fascinating was that he didn't waste any time doing it. Senator Al Franken.
I saw that. That's what
fired out a letter saying, you know, apparently he has Steve Jobs' mailing address.
I know, I heard that he was kind of...
asked him about 10 pointed questions saying, and closed it saying, I look forward to your response at your very earliest convenience.
Yeah, well, also the whole thing in Spain is really interesting, too, with the, excuse me, Google, we want to be unlisted. And Google's taking that to court, the Spanish court, because these people are saying, you know, we want to be anonymous. And, I mean, that's a case to look at, too.
And, you know, Google is not, Google will not tolerate this. And it's not, lost on me. It's not lost on me that President Not Sure went out and had himself a little town hall meeting hosted by none other than Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, but he had a little protest over Obama. I mean, he's starting to get a little pushback here in California. I was like,
And that's why he joked about it, I guess, in the remarks.
Ain't nobody laughing.
No, but, you know, there was that one line, he said, oh, I know how it is with you people. Oh, I still got the poster, but, you know, he's not the same guy. Does he understand that he does have a problem, Sandra?
Har, 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 you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, yeah.
I think Shepard Fairey's walked away at this point, hasn't he?
I just thought it was kind of funny that there was the protests are sort of popping up on his watch now. I mean, hopefully they'll increase.
Well, you know, somebody just kind of... I've just got this thing about lighting a fire under his butt. Because it can't go on this way.
Yeah, but he's like just sort of shameless with the CEO catering and the $40,000 a plate get together.
Well, you know what? It takes a lot of 40,000s is to get to 1 billion, doesn't it?
Even if that's going to be enough, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I suppose I understand why he's doing that, and if it wasn't so frightening, it would be popcorn just to see how much money is actually going to flood into this, you know?
But if these are, if the $40,000 a plate people are the people he's counting on, Sandra, what does it say? Because he's certainly not going to get that money from the Heritage Foundation or its supporters or the Cato Institute or its supporters. What does that say about the mindset of the so-called wealthy liberal class and what they think of the rest of us?
Well, they better start thinking with a lot more money if he thinks he's going to compete with that right-wing foreign money, though. You see what I mean? I don't know if he can even raise enough.
Well, I tell you what, I've argued for a long time, and you and I have discussed it. If we thought that Citizens United in 2010 was a bunch of money, we don't even know how to begin to count a bunch of money.
Well, I was listening to Malloy for the half whatever, and he mentioned psychic driving. I just about fell over. I said, "Oh no!" Where is he getting that from? The Cameron, Dr. Ewing. I mean, really? Are they actually tying that to Republican talking points now?
That I'm not for sure. I heard the reference too in passing, and I didn't get the full gist of it.
Oh, that's some deep. Well, anyway, I won't go into it. I was just really taken aback because that's some straight up MK Ultra stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Don't want any.
No.
No.
Anyway, have a good evening.
Well, thank you for providing me with a little collegial shallowness. I really did need the help.
Always. Got
his
middle name.
See you, Sandra.
Bye.
Bye now. Yeah, President not sure is on a swing out through Sandra's neck of the woods. And no, things are not entirely sunshine and violets. I think we will take a little break here and come back to your phone calls. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333, and with Jim's reference to his old classmate, Pat Conroy, I can't hardly resist this particular tune. This is the horn.
The sun, red and enormous, began to sink into the western sky. And simultaneously, the moon began to rise on the other side of the river with its own glorious shade of red, coming up out of the trees like a russet firebird. The sun and the moon seemed to acknowledge each other, and they moved in both apposition and concordance in a breathtaking dance of light across the oaks and the palms. My father watched it, and I thought he would cry again. He had returned to the sea, and his heart was a low country heart. African drums are silent, and the wind goes the poets at last. Out on the Fusky Island, the bulldozers. Her
Sometimes we own the zeros, and sometimes we own the ones.
Hey, there's a 10 in my soup.
Sometimes we own your shoes, and sometimes we own your souls.
It's like walking on a cloud of fresh pork.
Sometimes we own your mind, but we're always in your thoughts.
It's a pig that looks like a locomotive and tastes like flowers.
What do we own?
Souls?
Minds?
Pork?
Kind of. We're U.S. Plus. We own the idea of America.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, April 21, 2011.
Hard to believe, but it's only been a year. Our not at all fond look back over the BP oil disaster in the Gulf. Plus, for Earth Day, a message from the past about our shared future.
All that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Let the free market into this picture, and we will soon see the gas prices on the way down again.
Neil Bortz has got a good point.
Yes, crazy right-wing radio talk show host Neil Bortz has a good point. Crazy right-wing Fox and Friends host Steve Doocy, the free market will take care of oil prices. They've done a very good job so far. Nothing to worry about here. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, this week marks the 41st anniversary of Earth Week, so happy Earth Day to you.
Yes, but there's another sobering anniversary this week. A year ago Wednesday, the Deepwater Horizon exploded in the Gulf from a combination of human and mechanical errors, killing 11 men, a tragic preventable death toll that would ultimately be eclipsed when, 2 days later, on the 40th anniversary of Earth Day, the Deepwater Horizon rig sank into the deep. We didn't know then it was the beginning of the worst offshore oil spill in our nation's history. It would ultimately take 87 days to cap the well. Here's our not at all fond look back at just some of what we heard over those 87 days.
They were screaming, fire, fire, fire. This is not a drill.
The tragedy unfolding on our coast is the most painful and powerful reminder yet that the time to embrace a clean energy future is now.
There's no one who wants this thing over more than I do. I'd like my life back.
Even if we contain the well and even if the well is capped in mid-August, there's still a significant amount of oil out there.
And that's where I believe the market system works. Nobody's got more to lose in this deal than BP.
Today, engineers made a second attempt using a much smaller device called the top hat. If that one doesn't work, next they will go to the race car, the iron, and the tiny dog.
Yeah, BP actually forgot to mention hurricanes or tropical storms in their spill response plan. And as we know, they do have plans to evacuate walruses from the Gulf of Mexico, which have not lived there in 3 million years.
And it's unfortunate that walruses were included. It's an embarrassment that they were included.
BP's contingency plans were inadequate. We were making it up day to day.
I hear comments sometimes that large oil companies are greedy companies or don't care. But that is not the case in BP. We care about the small people.
Oh, they gave up on getting the oil out of the water a long time ago. Now the challenge is to get the water and all the dead shrimp and stuff out of the oil.
I do not want to live in a country where any time a citizen or a corporation does something that is legitimately wrong is subject to a shakedown. So I apologize.
And my job is to make sure that we live up to this responsibility, that we keep up our efforts until the environment is clean, polluters are held accountable, businesses and communities are made whole, and the people of the Gulf Coast are back on their feet.
How long should I care?
Years.
Years?
Years.
I have to care about this for years?
And here we are 1 year later, the aftermath by the numbers. The number of oil spill bills introduced in Congress, 110. The number of oil spill bills passed, zero. The amount pledged by BP to victims of the spill, $20 billion. The amount of claims paid out so far, $3.8 billion. The number of new offshore drilling permits approved since the moratorium was lifted, 10. The number of offshore drilling companies that have tested their new systems in actual ocean conditions, zero. The number of bills introduced by Republicans to speed up offshore permitting, 4, including a bill that will automatically approve a permit application even if the government hasn't had time to look at it yet.
But never let it be said that we, here at the Green News Report, are not fair and balanced. This clip from the American Petroleum Institute in 1960, letting us know that these sorts of oil spills aren't really that much of a problem after all.
The test oysters showed no ill effects from oil, even under conditions which far exceeded those ever present during oil production. They never had it so good.
So there you go, Des. Why all the worry? For more on all of that and the stories we didn't cover today, please stop by our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News Report. We are listener-supported radio and rely on you to help stay on your public airwaves. We'll close today for Earth Day with the words of the late astronomer Carl Sagan on the last photograph of Earth taken by the Voyager 1 deep space probe as it left our solar system, turning around for one last look homeward. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Bubble Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No, see, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap, there's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Bubble Genius, we got your soap right here.
And other bath and body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
Because of us, it's morning in America.
Breakfast, honey? Thanks. Hey, is this real pork?
Because of us, people in the Great Plains are just plain doing things. Little things, like taking money from machines.
Hey, stop, kid. I'm not a machine.
Because of us, they're roasting East Coast marshmallows on the West Coast.
Wow, these taste like pork.
We're the people of U.S. Plus. Guess what we do?
Chemistry? Transportation?
Pork?
Kind of. U.S. Plus. We own the idea of America.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Thanks going out to our creative op-ed correspondent, Reverbo, for those two delightful pieces from the Fire Sign Theater. I would be sorely remiss if I didn't tell you that was the Fire Sign Theater. From 1998, and relevant right now, U.S. Plus. I kind of gave it away, but... I figured somebody would ask, and I would just sort of say to the inquiry, yeah, that's the Fire Sign Theater. Geniuses. We own the idea of the idea of America. Isn't that where we are? Hey, where are we? Where are we going? And why are we in this handbasket? As our buddy Bruce Birch used to say. Well, let's see if you've had the patience to stay on through the break. And we'll go back to the phones. You didn't? No? No? And no. Well, I can't seem to generate the patience that the other folks have. But we've got lines open if you want. But I also want to play something for you. Because, well, the talk of Trump earlier in the program sort of dovetailed very nicely with this this little bit of video that I got from our South Carolina David in South Carolina recently, and what you're going to hear are clips of actual interviews done with South Carolina Republican voters on April 18th, 2011. And this wasn't just random Republicans on the street. No, they were all gathered together. They were at a rally hosted by South Carolina Republican Governor Nikki Haley. And this just about gags me. Republican presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann. The rally took place in, Columbia, South Carolina. Real Americans, complete with the right to vote. Well, it's a little bit like that old phrase from around the poker table. Read 'em and weep. Well, listen and despair.
Crazy, crazy for
pretty
get most of your news?
Well, I listen to a lot of talk shows, Glenn Beck, mostly.
My husband and I scrap heads. We're on Social Security. And instead of people looking down on me, they applaud and they bring me cans.
Who do you like for the presidential primary here in South Carolina?
I think Donald Trump.
Do you think the president is an American citizen?
No, absolutely not.
Where do you think he was born?
Kenya, of course.
Herman Cain recently said to a reporter that he would not hire any Muslims for his cabinet if he were to be elected.
Very wise, because Muslim is not a religion. It's a political ideology, and it's at odds with what we stand for.
As far as entitlement spending, I know a lot of people out here have said that they would cut Medicare and Social Security and Medicaid. Do you think that's got to be on the table?
No, sir. All that's unconstitutional, and all that's socialistic. Everything needs to be privatized.
Where would you say you get most of your news?
Most of my news?
Yeah.
Fox News.
We're spending too much money on education.
Who do you like in the presidential election so far? Who are you leaning towards?
Trump. He sounds good.
Who's that?
Trump.
Donald Trump?
Absolutely.
Do you think he's a Christian?
No, I do not.
What do you think he practices?
I think he's a Muslim. I think he spent too many years with his stepfather in Kenya. And once you're Muslim, I don't think you can change.
You think he's an American citizen?
No.
You think he's a Christian?
No.
Who do you like in the 2012 presidential election so far?
Oh, goodness gracious, is there any choice for Ron Paul?
What specific things in the budget would you advocate cutting?
NPR would be one. Planned Parenthood is another one.
And who do you like for running for president so far?
So far, Donald Trump.
You think the violation or the Constitution is being violated right now?
Dearly. Dearly.
Can you give some examples?
Sir?
Can you give an example?
Oh, God, just recently, Liberty, the invasion of Liberty, okay?
Where do you get most of your news?
You can't get it in the media because they're part of the problem.
So where do you get it?
From my neighbor. He gets it off the computer.
Now, I have to interrupt just for a moment to describe a visual. Yes, it's one of those dancing about architecture moments on the horn. The voice you just heard, saying whatever it is she was saying, was none other than Michelle Bachmann. She has stepped out from behind a podium to speak to the assembled, well, you heard them, and there was an American flag standing up beside her. Well, about three words into whatever she was saying, in a moment of sublime symbolism, especially in South Carolina, that American flag fell down. Michelle, uber patriot, remember when she was talking about how the Dorchester got torpedoed by that U-2 boat? Beautiful little video that our good buddy, our Southeast correspondent, Matt Osborne rendered into a hilarious piece of video. That U-2 boat torpedoed the Dorchester, and all of our poor boys died and froze, and that's what we need to do today. You know, that's what passes for history with the U-2 boats and so forth. So, you know, she loves America. Well, there lays the American flag on the ground, or on the stone steps of the state capital of South Carolina. Now, we'll go back, and who knows what this loony woman's saying, but it's been laying there for about 3 seconds. And it just stayed laying there.
Perpetrated on the human race.
So your opinion, we should just have a governmentless society?
Yes.
Are you active in your local Republican Party?
Oh, yes. I'm a committeeman.
I don't think he was born in America. If he was, he would show it immediately. That's
Where do you guys get most of your news?
I watch Fox News, and I read several sites on the Internet.
Same with you?
Yep.
What do you think about the Confederate flag?
battle flag's a pretty flag.
Pretty flag? I think it should be flying over the state capitol.
If I had the job to educate a race, and I had 100 years to do it and educate them to get them off welfare and to teach them the right and the wrongs of life, I would have done it. And the people that are in charge of that use the flag to keep their people down, just to keep them excited.
Do you support interracial marriage?
Not really.
Gotcha. What do you think of Nikki Haley?
I voted for her.
Can you explain your shirt? Is that kind of just tongue-in-cheek or what?
It's tongue.
The T-shirt, by the way, says 10 out of 10 terrorists recommend Democrats. Just so you'll know.
Also, it's to me, it's true.
You think he's a Christian?
No.
What do you think he is?
I think he's a Muslim.
Who do you like for president in 2012?
Is Sarah Palin or Michelle Biden?
Where do you get most of your news?
Fox News. I believe I can trust them.
I do watch Glenn Beck, but I'll tell you this. Glenn Beck has done a tremendous service to the United States.
What specific things should we cut? No spending.
What specific things we should cut? We should let the Constitution of the United States and the state constitution be our guide, because it sets out the things that we really need to do. Everything else is superfluous.
There's a book called The New Democrats, a parody and celebration of the Tea Party movement. So all I could do was fret. We did not like Bush and didn't care who we'd get. And by the way, the fish is Glenn Beck.
I just prefer a man as a leader.
Let's have a vision.
And that may seem strange, but I think, you know, God created man first.
And it truly will.
And he made a woman from a man. And I think she's a great helpmate. And I think the men are supposed to lead.
Who do you like the best?
I don't know. Donald Trump? Sarah Palin?
What would you do with programs like Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security?
They need to be eliminated. They're unconstitutional, but it has to be done.
So you don't think we're quite ready for a female president?
Not really. That's the America we know.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling.
And you know what? It is. It's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel. To point out the fact that that story comes from South Carolina, but it does. But make no mistake. Now, see, Jim, I told you, Jim didn't touch that dial, just like I told him. And I just got to see, my God, why am I not surprised? But make no mistake, that was South Carolina. You can go to a Republican meeting in Michigan, in Illinois, in California, God knows, in Arizona, and hear the same damn thing. You can go to a Republican Party meeting in Idaho and hear the same thing, but I'd suggest you don't, because if you get sick up there, you are scarrooed. Idaho Governor Butch Otter has signed an executive order that will end Medicaid in his state. The state legislature in Idaho had passed a bill, a nullification bill, against the Affordable Care Act. And even the Attorney General of Idaho said, it can't be law. It's contrary to the Constitution of the United States. So that put the ball in Governor Butch Otter's court. And he hit the ball. According to this executive order signed by Butch Otter in Idaho, Idaho is now forbidden from participating in Medicaid. The executive order says all state agencies are forbidden from implementing what he calls any provisions of the Affordable Care Act. It further says, quote, no executive branch department, agency, institution, or employee of the state shall accept or expend federal funds to implement the provisions of the Affordable Care Act. Well, guess what? He just took Idaho out of Medicaid, starting in 2014. Idaho, by the way, gets over $1 billion in tax money to administer its Medicaid program and needs more. Going back to the South Carolina clip, John Fox says, Jeebish, Bob, they sound so inbred and stupid. Coming, Uncle Daddy! Yeah. And I don't know which one's worse. And, well, I think I'll have to tweet this or something. If you follow my Twitter or Facebook pages, you'll see the link later. Did David from South Carolina? Yeah, he already posted this on my page, I think. Go look. You will not be okay. Sorry. Trump. Sarah Palin. Ron Paul. And curiously, no one said, hey, the woman up there in the lemon yellow skirt suit set standing by the flag that's laying on the ground. No one said Michelle Bachmann. I'll be getting emails now from people who have left America and gone to live in civilization saying, see why I did that? Every now and then I have to provide a little affirmation for... And all of them have the right to vote. Randall in Pennsylvania. I bid 7, no Trump. Yeah, you can't fix stupid. Oi, to the phones. You guys keep doing that to me. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey there.
Hey, Susan.
Got any idea of who's going to be appointed in Senator Ensign's place?
I saw the email from you that he had just stepped down. If you tell me Sharon Angle, I'm going to rip my clothing off and run naked in the yard.
I have no idea, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Thank God. I thought you had more breaking news. Because, you know, they're tired of watching me run naked in the yard, tearing at my hair around here. One more and they bring the net.
Well, yeah, let's face it. I'm sure she's going to run for his seat.
You know, there's another guy out there I hope runs for the seat. His name, he ran against him last time, as a matter of fact, Susan. You know who that was?
No.
Chip Carter. Son of James Earl Carter. Otherwise known as Jimmy.
Ah. Any relation to the former president?
That would be Jimmy.
Ah, okay.
Carter. Yes. James Earl Carter. Jimmy Carter. His son, Chip, was there when he was in the White House.
would be interesting.
I have a feeling that that's part of the that's even if it's not Chip Carter, that's part of the calculus going on.
I do know that one report I saw was basically the Democrats were rather miffed because the longer he stayed in office, the more hay they could make.
Right, and I think he had said he was going to step down after this term anyway. He wasn't going to run.
Yeah.
So better to step down now, appoint some flunky or Sharon Angle, bring a chicken to the Senate.
Oh, God.
And give him or her a chance to build a war chest and to get some name recognition.
And sit there and be able to run with the word incumbent.
Bingo.
But I just really, at the rate the Republicans are building hatred, you know, like, it's like this Yahoo in Idaho, you know, you mentioned that he's opted out of Medicaid. Did you read what the ramifications of that are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, among other things, Idaho's budget will explode.
Blown out.
So
they've got to do the equivalent of laying off 85% of their teachers. Or getting rid of almost 250,000 people's health care, or something equally draconian.
And they'll feel just so much more murkin' when they do.
Oh, yeah, and hey, I used to live in that state, and they're just...
Well, I know, I was thinking about that even as we spoke, yes.
You know, they're just Looney Tunes enough to pull this.
Well, no, it's not to pull. They have pulled.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, past a certain point, it's going to be like, you know, at one time, honest God, at one point, Idaho used to be a Democratic stronghold.
There were a lot that were at one time. The only thing is, I don't think that Idaho fell by the boards the same way that, or maybe it did, I don't know, that say, Democratic strongholds like Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and Tennessee and so forth did. You know, that was all a process of the passage of the Civil Rights Act. That's not why Idaho left the fold, is it?
No, they just went nuts. As far as I can tell, they just went Looney Tunes. You had every loony in the country heading for Idaho. Idaho is the home of the fun group called the Order.
That's true. What was his name? Randy Weaver?
Yeah.
It is that time of year.
Unite. Yeah, neo-Nazis unite. You know, the whole state's like that. You're either, you know, going on like the most rabid Tea Partier, or you're going on about the separation of the races, or some weird hybrid thereof. It's the closest thing I've ever seen in this country to a real feudal society, and the lord of the manor, the lord of the society, the dukedom of Idaho, is J.R. Simplot.
Jesus.
Honest to God.
And who's he again?
J.R. Simplot, you ever bought a frozen potato?
Or Ida.
You bet.
I knew there was a reason I didn't. But it doesn't matter if it's Orida or any other frozen spud, right?
Right. Basically, if it's potato, he's had something to do with raising it, harvesting it, freezing it, so on and so on.
He is Mr. Potato
Same
Head.
With sugar beet. Same with sugar beets.
Son of a...
Or onions.
Not all onions, Idaho onions.
Yeah, Walla Walla Sweets.
Oh, my Walla Walla Sweets too?
Yeah.
Tell me he's got his tentacles into the Vidalias and I'll just start crying.
I don't know about the Vidalias, but they grow. You go in the Boise area, you can drive by bunkers, storage bunkers, that look like they're big enough to house airplanes. And what they're housing are Walla Walla Sweets.
But those are in what? Is that, or is that just a brand name too? Like Fox News?
No, it's a type of onion. It's a breed of onion that grows in a certain geographical area, and that particular part.
But if I get a Walla Walla Sweet that says product of Washington, has this right-wing thug got his hand in that too?
Probably, because he also likes to buy up part of Washington too.
You know, this is one of those crazy little moments, Susan. I first became aware of Walla Walla Sweets long, long ago when I first read Tom Robbins' wonderful, hilarious, brilliant, satirical novel, Still Life with Woodpecker, in which the protagonist, the anti-hero, if you will, one Bernard Mickey Wrangle, known as the Woodpecker, a mad bomber, was actually a foundling who had been raised by Dude Wrangle, a failed Western movie picture star, who had then turned to onion farming and ran the Crimea River Onion Farm of Walla Walla, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the breed first was developed. But it's a breed of onion. They grow Walla Walla Sweets down here not very far from my house. I can go down and buy Walla Walla Sweet onion sets and grow them in my backyard.
Wow. You know, when we plant spuds around here, we plant Kennebecs and Pontiacs, generally from Maine or Michigan. I think I'm going to have to, the next time we do that, we'll have to go and get, I don't know, blue potatoes from a blue state again.
Now, the thing is, the only thing you have to do to make a Walla Walla Sweet taste like a Walla Walla Sweet.
If this is going to involve burying my onions in manure, Susan.
No, dear.
Okay. Just checking.
Treat it, make it think it's in a desert.
Starve it for water.
Yeah. Because all of the farms in Idaho and in Walla Walla, it's all dry land farming. It's irrigation farming.
Yeah, that's the eastern part of the state in the rain shadow and, right.
Yeah, they flood irrigate it, and so you get this, you know, big swoop of water for a little while, and then it's gone. It's, you know. And so they concentrate the water, and it gets oh so sweet. And that's how you get yourself a real super good Walla Walla Sweet, is you make it think it's in a desert.
I'll be darned, I had no idea. Of course, onion horticulture is not my long suit.
Well, it's not really mine either. I don't really grow my own food anymore. I'll go down and buy it, and then it's almost time for me to make with the psycho knife and start chopping up knives and chopping up onions and the Vidalias are due to start coming in anytime soon. And that means I start chopping up onions and freezing them.
Good idea. I like that idea. You mentioned that. I'm going to, well, one of these days we're going to have a chest freezer.
You don't have to plant onions.
No, you just chop, yeah, you told me, you just chop them and stick them in the freezer.
Chop them, suck out as much air as you can, and throw them in the freezer. 6 months later, open it, toss it in your stew or whatever, and it's like fresh.
You know, that can be handy because chopping an onion is just a pain in the butt in the middle of most recipes.
Oh, yeah. Me, when I'm doing this, I've worked out a system. I get gloves on.
Yeah, you kind of gotta.
Yeah, because it's like handling hot peppers. Past a certain point, you literally can't do it.
Well worth remembering.
Yeah, but it's too bad we can't send a certain present to. Now, what's really...
Well, you know what? You and Lottie need to get together because he just said in the chat room he makes an onion pie that is fabulous.
Oh, Lottie, send me the recipe. I will send you my recipe for an onion tart caramelized.
Hmm. Yum. This is the food porn portion of the program, without a doubt. Well, I'm going to see if these other blinking lights still have had the patience to stick around. So can't really ship those onions, but no, thank you for the heads up. And I don't know, maybe we'll go into an onion chopping frenzy if I can ever find my good kitchen knife again.
That was the second worst crime you could commit in my household. The worst crime was damaging a book. The second worst was thou shalt not touch mom's
good
psycho knife.
Good knife. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because if mom goes out and spends,
you know what really chapped me the other day, and kitchen folks will I think sympathize. I had a very nice Chicago Cutlery Santoku knife. And I like Santokus because with vegetables and tomatoes and things like that, you know, they've got the little divots along the side so that stuff stuff falls away instead of sticking to the knife. You know, brilliant little piece of Japanese design. Well, this was a really good high carbon steel Santoku.
Mm-hmm.
It fell off the chopping board. No one was hurt. But upon striking the ground, broke in two like freaking the sword in the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, no!
No, and I ain't got no Rivendell to take it back to have it hastily re-glued. Yeah,
now you know why I buy Solingen steel.
Well, I'm just a high-carbon steel. Well, yeah, Solingen steel, yeah, but I'm just a high-carbon steel, and I guess it was brittle somehow, and it...
Yeah, it must have metal fatigue or something like that, or... That must have broke your heart.
Didn't do me any good. Of course, knives have a tough life around here. I tried to jealously guard my Japanese ceramic knife for a while. And those things really are as sharp as they say, and they stay that way, but the stuff is as brittle as heck, and it looks like a 300-year-old straight razor now. Just one notch out of the blade after another. I'm kind of ashamed telling these stories, but, you know, when you live in a house full of teenagers and stuff, forget it.
Yeah.
Agnes and I have come to the conclusion that it used to be, she used to, you know, that same parent, anybody who has teenagers has at one time or another, mother or father has said, I can't have anything nice around here.
Oh, yeah.
So
I used to go around yelling at my kids, I'm going to break your right arm and I'm going to break your left leg.
Well,
generally at the top of my lungs.
We've decided that we're going to wait until all the kids are out of the house, and then we're going to start reaccumulating nice stuff. But I got a You got to do something about a knife. Because the most dangerous thing in a kitchen, Susan, is a dull knife.
It's a dull knife. Yeah. Yeah, it just kills you.
I know.
Losing, I couldn't stand losing my good knives.
Oh, and David in Tennessee also pointing out that J.R. Simplot.
Yeah.
He said he's actually quite diversified, really. Onions, potatoes. He built one of the world's largest silicon wafer plants in all the world outside of Boise. He's so well off, he didn't even do any loans. He spent like $75 million to build that plant. And David adds, and of course, he's a little to the right of where Barry Goldwater once found himself.
He's a little to the right of Attila the Hun.
Well, I'll bet you it's a high old time when he gets together with the Koch boys.
Yeah.
Susan, have yourself a good night, dear.
Okay, hon.
All right, take care.
Best day.
Will do. Bye.
Bye.
News Ninja Susan calling from Oregon and onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, buddy. Yeah.
Hey, Ike, what's up, man?
All right, I appreciate you exposing the fresh hell that I found myself living in when I moved to Charleston, South Carolina. It was like moving back to the 50s. You know, some of these people around here, you would think that the Civil War just ended last week.
Well, for them, it's not even so much that, Ike, it's that it never ended. It's sort of like North and South Korea. They view it as a truce at best.
That's true. You know, I've been hearing Randy did a whole show today on basically pounding on South Carolinians, and I can't be offended by it because I've lived in the South all my life. But it just so happens I grew up around Atlanta, and that's a little bit more metropolitan.
Well, yeah, Atlanta's a little bit of civilization. I mean, I lived there for a couple of years, so yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, but these folks here in South Carolina, as a matter of fact, I've hacked them off more than once, and one of my favorite things to tell them is, you know, before I came to South Carolina, I used to hate Sherman and what he did to Atlanta, but now that I've been here, I think he did us a favor, because if you get downtown in Charleston, I don't care, you know, how old or how far over the house is leaning, they're not going to tear it down, you know, it's just... All things old are just right on with these people, and that includes their roads, their educational system, and just about anything else you can think of.
Now I'm about on the verge of feeling like I need to go and watch Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil or something.
It is. I mean, it's sad. It really is sad. I've run into more racists, and I've run into more people in this town that actually hold the beliefs that they're talking about on that tape. You know, they believe he's a Muslim, they believe he's, you know, got some secret plan to destroy America. And
without fail, it all comes home to Fox. Did you notice that?
Yeah. They just, you know, it's just like their Bible. But I'll tell you this, you know, and we've discussed it before, this is a failure. The reason this stuff is going on is the failure of the Democratic Party or the Democratic people in the Democratic Party to recognize where their challenge was going to come from and where this operation was going to take over, and that was talk radio. And they stood by and let it happen.
Absolutely.
It's just like in this town right here. If I didn't have a smartphone, I wouldn't be able to listen to anybody because there isn't nothing but one point of view. And if you'll go and look, a lot of places where the pockets of red are at, you go and look at different places, and I'll tell you right now, I can promise you that their talk radio is loaded up with right-wing garbage, and that's all they hear. But you have to give me credit, I'll just so you know. I live in the 6th District here